Good morning and welcome to worship this morning. And a warm welcome to Susan, who's joining us while Audrey has a holiday this weekend. Just a few intimations before we get started. Our fun day yesterday, for everybody that turned up, thank you. It was a really good day. The weather, the sun shone for us, didn't it? It was excellent. So thank you very much. And it was a good chance for everybody to get to know each other a wee bit. So hopefully it'll not be too long before we have the next event. Just watch this space and we'll keep you up to date. Our church survey, as you know, we gave the questionnaires out last week. If you haven't got one, there's still some at the back for if you want one. Please, we would encourage you all to have your say in how you think our church works at the moment and how we could possibly maybe alter or improve things as we develop over the next few years. So I would encourage you all to complete the church survey. All our clubs are as usual this week. The only one that's not running is Planet Earth because of the space we don't have in the small hall for them. So the Planet Earth won't return back until after we're back in the large hall. But everything else is happening in the small hall. And there's a men's breakfast in Curlook on Saturday the 5th of September, 8:30. That Station Road in Curlook, for anybody that's interested. It was on the intimations and on the PowerPoint, so hopefully you'll have seen that. Everything else is in there. Prayer boxes at the back for anybody wanting prayer for themselves or anybody else. So just please, I would encourage you to make use here. Thank you.
Good morning. How are we all? I told you yesterday, do not give me an excuse that we were out and about on the whole afternoon, and that's the reason we are not coming to church. You are faithful people, you are here, so clap for yourself, actually. Yes. And I would like to say thank you to the team. It was a lot of hard work put into that, and a lot of things work in the background, and to all of you, thank you so much for doing that. It was a great thing. Thank you, and thank you to Susan as well for covering Audrey. I hope she's enjoying somewhere nice and sunny. They love you. They don't love me enough. They love you. They never clap for me. They're clapping for you. Well, thank you, Nicole. Right. God bless you all. My dear all, thank you very much for joining, and thank you to anyone who is here first time to attend the service or back after a long time. God welcomes you. God loves you, and God is here to speak to you as a person. And on that note, I hope you remember what I preached last week. Anyone remember? Blank faces? Sorry? Yes, exactly. Real Jesus. Who is real Jesus? A lot of people don't know who the real Jesus is. And then, again, I believe it's the Holy Spirit guiding me to do a series of 6 weeks. Starting from today, that I'm going to preach who real Jesus is. Starting from John chapter 1 today, and John chapter 1 said, the Word become flesh. The Word of God become flesh. What does it mean? What is this logos? What is this concept of Word that God is so interested in? Because remember, everything created by what? God's Word. God is not an engineer. God is not an architect. God is not a builder, my dear friend. God is the one who says it, and it happens because he is God. He don't require his handiwork. He don't need to work hard with things. He just say it, and it happens. And that's what our God is, the God we worship, who is personal, who is so personal that he said something and everything come into being, and then his word took flesh and dwell among us like Father's glory. You should be in awe for that. That 2,000 years ago, his word, the concept of the whole world, came into being to dwell among you and me. And I'll share more why he has to do that. I'll share more about that. There is a change in the order, so you might be surprised for a few things, but please be with us because we need to do first thought first so that kids can go and have time on the Sunday school. Without further ado, let's take a moment of silence and prepare yourself. Bring your mind, your spirit, your heart at one place to worship your God in truth and in spirit. Come. Come, dear children of God, no matter who you are and where you are. Right now, gather here before the one who spoke the world into being. The Word who became flesh is here with us right now in the form of Holy Spirit. Come with burdened heart, but open hearts. The God who holds all things together holds you in His arms right now. Come with quiet trust. Even when we wander, God's light still shines. Even when we are lost far away, He comes run behind us to rescue us. Come, let's worship the Word of God, Jesus, the true Logos, the one who came near so we could know God and be friend with Him. Amen. Amen. Dear all, may I please request you all to stand and sing our first hymn, and this is the children's hymn, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. Do you know this hymn? See that? How I played it? Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. Do you know this? Yeah? Let's all stand and sing it. You can do the actions if you know it. Forward and do the reading. Our reading is very important from a very famous chapters. It's from Hebrews chapter 1 verses 1 through 3 and then John, which is very important one, John chapter 1 verses 1 through 14.
First reading from Hebrews chapter 1 verses 1 to 3. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days He has spoken to us by a Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom He also created the worlds. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being, and He sustains all things by His powerful word. When He had made purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. The second reading is from John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him not one thing came into being. What has came into being in Him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it, overtake it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of the Father, as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. Amen.
Thank you so much, Neil, for reading. He's done exceptionally good. He's read it slowly. Thank you so much. Can you please all clap for him? Thank you. As if I'm not expecting that you will read it very good, but you did. Well done. When we read the Bible verses, it comes alive in our life, and it should, because the Word of God is true. What is God is so deep and so meaningful, but I always say Word of God is not a rabbit from a hat. It's not a magic trick. You don't need to be elite. You don't need to be a theologian. You don't need to be a philosopher to understand, because these are very simple words. The Bible clearly says, in the beginning was the Word. Well, it was the beginning, and there was a Word. Yes, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came through him, and without him, nothing that came into being. Now, this concept of Word, where does it come from? Well, I'll tell you more in my reflection, but just to make it easy for all the children to understand, when John was writing these verses, there was a Greco-Roman world in front of him, and there were Israelites. And he wanted to speak to the Greco-Roman world, which were all philosophers and very deep and very elite, and they believed that you can receive God and attain God by knowledge. If you have a knowledge, if you have self-discipline, if your karmas are good, you know what karmas are? Yeah? Do you know what karma is? Nod. Say yes, no. Yeah? If your karmas are good, you can attain that salvation, that nirvana, that moksha, or whatever you call it. You can be the enlightenment. If you align your life with that order, you will live a good life. And if you're not able to, then you will not. Then your life is mess. Okay? But here John needs to speak to the Jews as well, the Israelites as well. And he said, in the beginning. Now, where does else it says in the beginning? Can somebody tell me? Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the earth, heaven and the earth. God created the time, God created the space and the matter. Simple as that. And John actually took them back into that time. It says, in the beginning, there was Word. And who was that Word? That Word was so person. Now, Aristotle, who lives in 322 BC, around what? 2,300 years ago? Bible says, do you know who was friend of God? In Old Testament. Do you know who is a friend of God? Can any one of you tell me? Yes, please. Say a name. Can anyone? Abraham. Stephen, thank you so much. Yes, Abraham was called the friend of God. Now, Aristotle said, that's appalling. You cannot be friend of God. Never. Because you have nothing in common. He is a supernatural being, a healer, a miracle worker. He's somewhere there. He is the one who created everything. He's there. You are just mere insects like this. How can you be intelligent, smart enough like God? You have nothing in common, right? Now, if I want to be friend with Neil, what would I need to do? He loves driving, I believe. Do you? I need to go to him and say, Neil, I love driving too. He said, me too. Right? Is that right? I'll come to Lynn and say, Lynn, what's your name? My name is Liz. What do you do? I work in a state hospital. All right, good. What are your hobbies? I love fishing. Me too. Next Wednesday, let's go for fishing. Do you like coarse fishing? Do you like sea fishing? Or do you like this fishing? Is that right? Right? Susan, what do you love? I love playing music. Me too, though I'm illiterate. Me too. And we become friend on the common ground. Aristotle said, no, you cannot be friend of God. But he don't have the concept of that, that God could embody himself and live among us. Like you and me. 2,000 years ago, the word, which was a concept, which was an order, a principle, becomes something extraordinary to live among us. Do you understand that part? Maybe not. Let me do something for you, okay? Especially for the kids. Kids, let me call my friend. Do you think I can call my friend with this phone? Let me dial the number, right? Trying? Is it ringing? No? Something wrong with the phone? Hello? Hello? Nothing. Can you try? Keep trying. It won't work. You know why?
Because it's out of a battery.
It may not even have a SIM card. Is that right? Right? It may have nothing. It has no life in it. Right? But, listen to that. Can I get this working? Please? Like, look at this. Now, this is my, okay? And I'm going to call my friend. Let's see if he's going to pick up the call.
Hello.
Hello, Mr. G. How are you?
I'm not too bad.
Are you sure?
Yes.
I am in the church, and kids want to speak to you. Can you speak to them? Can you say hello to them?
Hello. Hello. Hello.
Would you like to say hello?
Hello.
Yeah,
hello.
Say loudly.
Hi.
Right. Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
What do you understand with that? See that? This phone, I was not able to speak because there was nobody on the other hand who can hear me, who can speak. But when I've got connected with my phone, which has a SIM and a battery, I believe that's the Holy Spirit, you have somebody on the other end who is my friend, whom you can speak to. When you pray, he is listening and he is answering you. Do you understand that? Now, let me show you something. Do you know who this person is? Me and my dog? No. Let me tell you, this person is a female. Anyone? Anyone know? Now, how about this? Who is this? My mom. Who is this?
Karen.
Now, this is Karen, right, everybody? This is Karen. Do you know Karen? Now, if I'll give you her photograph and say, describe her characteristic to me, can this photograph give you a hug? If you speak to her, will she speak back to you, the photograph? Why not? It's not human, exactly.
Yeah.
But if I tell you this photograph of is a real person, Karen, here we go. Now this person can say hello to you, can give you a hug, and we can speak to you. Right? Right? Okay, now tell me. Was that photograph good or a real person? Yes. Sorry? Oh, that's fine. Thank you, Karen. Thank you. Well done. Now, would you prefer this photograph or a real person?
A real person.
That's very good. Yes, thank you. So, we always prefer that. Now, I've got a map in my hand. Do you know what it is? It's a map of Edinburgh. On the screen, it's a map of Delhi. Can you see that? Now, if I give you, all of you, and I'll say, here's the map. Read it. Understand it. Find every nook and cranny, all the road, name of the every road, every building, everything. And then I'll leave you, say, map of Delhi. I'll leave you in Delhi. What will happen? Will you find your ways? Or will you be lost? You'll be lost, isn't it? But you know the concept. You have the principle. You have the order. But if I come to you, because I'm born and brought up in Delhi, and I know every road, every building there, and I'll come and I'll grab your hand and take you to be with me, will you prefer that or you prefer the map? You'll prefer me? Thank God. I was actually, I was worrying, you know. Absolutely. That is the God we serve, my dear friend. Bible say, his own rejected him. You know what his own are? In our families, you have one nagging family member. All of us have. Do you know who that person is? And if you don't know, it must be you. If you don't know, it must be you then, right? You always have that nagging person, never get along with you. There were people who rejected Jesus Christ when Jesus Christ was sent for us. We rejected Jesus Christ. But then, what did he do? He made us friend. You know how? He was not a map. He was not the photograph. He was not the dead phone. What he is, he's on the other end. He's listening to us. He's very personal to us. He come and cry with us. He come and laugh with us. Right? He said, listen, sometime you are in pain. And Jesus said, me too. This is how we become friend with Jesus. Jesus said, do you like to go for a birthday party or a wedding party? You say, Jesus, yes. Jesus will say, me too. I was invited in Cana. Right? Jesus, and you will say, Lord, I'm a sinner. There's nothing like you. But the Bible says that God made him sin for the person who knew no sin. So we can say, God, me too. He took all our burden, all our pain, all our sin on the cross and died on the cross so we can say, Lord, me too. So we serve a God who is not a distance order or a principle or somewhere above there. He lived among us in flesh. So I can say, Lord, me too, because you are made of flesh and blood, so am I, and we can be friend. And when we become his friend, he gave us the right to become the child of God. That's what God has done for you and for me. He is not a dead phone that there is no one on the other end. He is not a map that you need to figure out, because he's a person. He holds your hand and never let you be lost in any city, any place. Darkness or light, he is there with us. Do you understand that? Is it easy to understand? Yeah. Yes. And that's why in Hebrews it says he sustained everything, because he's the one who created everything. Though his own rejected him, he made you his friend and then adopt him in his family by buying you with his own blood. And that's what the concept of Christianity is. It's not an alienated God. He is the one who is personal and next to you. Okay? God bless you. You can go with your teachers. Can we all please clap for the kids, please? Thank you. Thank you for all the answers. Off you go. Like, take the map. Thank you. Let's join our hearts in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this morning. We know that you are a living God, and we come before you with a quiet heart this morning. Lord, you are the Word who was in the beginning, the one who spoke light into the darkness, the one who holds all things together. Even now, when we see our world in chaos, in distress, destroyed and messed up. And so is our life, Lord. But we believe in you that with faith we can come near to you, and by grace we can be in order with you in kingdom of God. And for that reason, Lord, we adore you. Because there is no one like you. You're full of grace, you're full of truth, and you're full of life. And because you live, we can live too in that order. Lord, at the same time, we stand in your light. We confess our need of your mercy. We have trusted our own wisdom, Lord, and followed our own paths. And we tried to carry burdens you never ask us to carry. You said, give me your burdens, and I will take care of them, and take my yoke, because my yoke is light, which gives you comfort. Lord, we confess the pride that blind us, the fears that slows us down, and the sin that pulls us away from you. Forgive us, Lord, and please wash us clean. Speak your living word into the places where we have grown cold or careless, and remind us the path of your cross, where you died for our sin so we can be saved. And we thank you, Lord, we thank you that the word become flesh, that Jesus stepped into our world, that he walked our roads, carried our sorrows, and opened the way for us to become children of God. Thank you for grace that meets us, for truth that studies us, for love that refuses to let us go. Thank you that even when we wander, Lord, your light still shines. So please receive our worship, Lord, and renew our hearts, and let your word live in us as we live in you. Through Jesus Christ, we pray this prayer, and we also join our hearts in the prayer you taught your disciples to pray together and say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Dear all, before we go in the word of God, can we please stand if you're able and sing our next hymn, Meekness and Majesty. Now, my reflection, as always, is the continuation of what I was sharing in my first thought with you. And I hope that was easy for us to understand, because I have brought a lot for you, and please be with me. And maybe if you have any questions, you can always ask me the concept, the Bible verses, and what I'm trying to tell you here. I'm trying to explain it to you that why Jesus become Logos, why Jesus is the Word of God, and John is trying to emphasize it, that without that Word, there is nothing. Everything is created by Him, for Him, and if He's not there, then there is no order, there is no principle, there is no concept, and there will be nothing if there is no Jesus Christ. And it's very important for us to understand the concept of Logos. I'll share more about Jesus later on in later Sundays. But it's very important for us to understand this Logos. Okay? Now, I would like you to imagine something. Imagine that one day you wake up in your bed in your house, but the world has stopped working. Well, you can't even imagine that, can you? But think about it, that world has stopped working, that the sun doesn't rise at all, gravity lets go. Okay? The numbers stop behaving. 2 multiplied 2 is? Say it. 4, are you sure? Numbers stop behaving, and now 2 multiplied by 4 is 5. The sun shouldn't rise, the gravity gave up, and instead of lying on your bed, now you are touching the ceiling. And all the furniture is up there as well. Can you even imagine that chaos in your life? When one thing goes wrong and move out of the center and we are not in control, we think, oh, everything is gone. Right? When we feel that. Now think about it. If the whole world have lost its order, what will happen? Yet, my dear friends, yet every morning the sun rises, isn't it? Every morning, no matter what you have done or left undone, no matter who you are, where you live, you are in United Kingdom, beautiful Scotland, where sun hardly shines, but it's still there. Or you live in somewhere in Antarctica, you will still find the sun would rise from the same place where it's supposed to be. Every day the gravity will hold. You will be still walking on the ground instead of flying. And when you count the numbers, all the numbers added up, 2 multiplied by 2 is actually 4, and not changes number and misbehaving, and it's 5. The world is astonishingly in order, isn't it? Well, for some people, this order come from nothing. Everything come out of nothing. But if I ask you, I hope you will able to tell me, where does this order come from? God, Jesus Christ. Because if this is not God, when He spoke His word and created everything, nothing would have been existed, because order cannot come out of chaos, and something cannot come out of nothing. Is that right? But I think there are a lot of people going towards that side, that everything comes out of nothing. Though they believe in the order, but they don't want to believe in the designer that who created it. The ancient Greek, my dear friends, have this concept as well. And so is the other worldview in the ancient time. Let me talk about Greco-Roman world, because that's what our texts ask us to do. They looked at that order, why everything is in its place, why the chemistry and the geometry, they all work together at the right standard, why it is there. They call it an order, and said there must be something behind this, some deep logic, some cosmic mind. They believe there must be something behind it. Obviously, that's a good reason to think about, and they call it Logos. That's where the word come from, logic. Logos, that's what they gave that word. Do you know what Logos means in Greek? It means the word, with capital W. But to them, it wasn't personal. It wasn't personal. It was a far distance order, and everything just happened because it's supposed to happen. And if you align your life with that order, you live a happy life. You live a prosperous life. You live a healthy life. But if you come out of that order, you live in chaos, and there'll be chaos everywhere. Do you understand that? Where I'm coming from? It was a principle also for only the elite people. Only the elite could understand, the philosopher, the scholars, or only the brilliant few. And in those times, only the rich can go to the universities. They love to go and sit and chat and argue about things, especially the concept like logos. But not ordinary people can go. You and my people, you and me, like who are ordinary labor class people, they cannot sit in their argument, and they will never understand the order, and their life is useless for other people. And that's the reason they were happy to keep slaves and happy to keep people who are marginalized, segregated, and separated from the elite class, because they don't understand the concept of the order, of the logos. And if you don't understand it, you never receive the moksha, the nirvana, or enlightenment, or salvation, or whatever. And that's the reason you are good for nothing. You live like an insect. Because it was the concept for only elite people. Do you understand where I'm coming from? That was the idea there. Only elite can receive that. And the John opens his gospel and says something extraordinary. No one has ever heard that concept. And John is very keen to tell them that. And he said, dear all, listen to this. Logos is not a principle. The Logos is a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. And they were like, their mind just blew. What? It cannot be. Like Aristotle said, Jesus, God cannot be a friend. God cannot be personal, because he's an impersonal being, supernatural power somewhere in distance. How can he be your friend and personal God? But God proved that in the image, in the incarnation of Jesus Christ, by giving him flesh and blood and bones and mind, and giving him the full humanity and full divinity at the same time. Listen to what John said. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Through him all things were created, made, and him was life. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. It means you do not have life if he doesn't offer it to you. John tells five things through these verses, which is very important for all of us to understand that if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, or if you wanted to be follower of Jesus Christ. He said, the Word is a person. He is divine. He is uncreated. He is the source of life, and he is Jesus. You know why he said the Word was with God? Because God has no ending and no beginning. God is the one who created the time. He is out of time. And God, Jesus, was already with him when he was created, creating everything. So he's not a created being, if you think so. He's not a concept. He's a person. And John wants us to see something more deeper. He wants us to see why Jesus is Logos and he had to become flesh. Now understand that. Why that Logos had to become flesh. If Jesus had remained distant, my dear friend, if he had stayed as a cosmic principle, we would never know him, would we? Like the same way I showed you a photograph, I showed you a map, I showed you a dead phone. It's not going to work. You may know the concept, you may study the photograph, you may study the map, but you'll be still lost because there is no one to guide you through his word. If he stayed as a cosmic principle, we would never know him. We would never understand him. We would never be able to reach him. Only the elite could attain the Greek logos, and ordinary people will be always left out. People foolish like me will never be able to understand that philosophical principles, because I am just thick as mince. This is the third time I'm saying that word. But the real God is not like that, my dear friends. The real God came near to us. The real God became flesh. The real God stepped into the world He made because He loves you. You exist because Jesus is willing you to exist. Now, that's a big, big argument and a statement. You exist because Jesus is willing to exist. If He starts speaking for 1 second, every atom in creation would fall apart. He is the one who created it, and He is the one who is sustaining it. Hebrews, when we read, Hebrews says, He sustains all things by His powerful word. Not sustained. Sustain is an English word, which is past tense. He is not the one who created everything and say, you enjoy, I am up to it. No. He is not asking you, He is not letting you, giving you a say, let's go in the concept of Neil, build a truck for you and say, Neil, go enjoy it. No, He is sitting next to Him, guiding every step. Press the clutch, press the brake. Do you have clutch in your trucks? Do you have clutches in your trucks? Yeah. Right? This is the steering. Drive it this way, because He's the one who is guiding it. He's not leaving us in this world and said, you take care of it right now. No, He's not. He wanted us to be good steward, but He's there. Hebrews says He sustains every word. Not sustained, my friend. Right now, in this moment, He is the God of the order. And that is the reason sun still rises every time. Gravity do not give up. And the number still comes 2 multiplied 2 is 4. You may not believe it. That's your problem. Because you know why? With our pride, with our principle, with our religiosity and spirituality, what we want to reject Jesus. A lot of people I meet, they said, we are spiritual, but we are not religious. You know what they're hiding? They said, we are spiritual because they feel that we are connected to one kind of energy, but if they're religion will try to control them. Religion will try to discipline them. Religion will try to keep them in order. Religion will tell, no, you cannot do this. They don't want that. They want their own God. They don't want religion, which is Jesus Christ as a person, because Jesus Christ will challenge you. They want a lovey-dovey God, what I was preaching last week. That's the reason world reject the God, reject Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, give you a little bit more background of it. Even if the world reject Him, my dear friend, He still holds the world together. Even if you ignore Him, He still keeps your heart beating. Even if you walk away, He still cares for you. That is why the Logos become flesh, because the God who holds the universe together wanted to hold you too. Let me give you a picture. Imagine this, okay? Imagine a huge power station from where the whole electricity being supplied to whole Scotland, or say, let's the whole world, okay? Let's say whole town, Forth. The engineer who designed it knows every wire, every switch, every circuit, every bolt. Okay, and he drew the plan. He is the designer behind this power station, but the town never meets him. You don't know who this Mr. XYZ is, who is the engineer, okay? Now imagine one stormy night, the whole system begins to fail. And instead of staying safe in his office, this engineer, Mr. XYZ, he puts on his overall, walks into the building, and takes all hold of those wires which are broken because he designed them, and he costed his own life by holding it, but providing you still light in your house, energy and electricity in your house. Now some will say, there is no engineer. They know there is a power station somewhere, but they don't need to believe in designer. They said, oh, there is no engineer. No. It's all come by chance. Millions of years ago, there was a bolt. And that bolt evolved into power station. Is that right? They think we are faith. We are faith-based religion. So are they. Because they have faith that because of a bolt, I become a power station. Is that right? That's what we believe. That's what a lot of people believe. That's what our schools are trying to teach you. That we evolved from what? Monkeys? Amoeba at one point? We don't believe. We don't want to believe in that. That was Jesus did, my dear friend. The mind behind universe step into the universe. The one who invented the atom become touchable. The one who spoke stars into existence learned to speak as a child. So we can say, me too, Lord. Me too. John 1:14 says, so the word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory like the glory of Father, only Son. But why do people reject him then? That's the question, isn't it? When God is living and living among you and is a personal friend, why do people reject? Maybe give you two ideas. Bible says, John is very honest, and he said, John 1:5, the light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. He came to his own people, and his own did not receive him, because they walk in darkness. They don't want to see the light, because if they want to, they will come to the light, their sins will be open. They don't want that. Some reject Jesus openly. They say there is no absolute truth. Do you know what absolute truth is? Do you know what absolute truth is? Youngsters will know what absolute truth is. They believe there is no absolute truth. And I have to go into dictionary to check it. I checked it, and the definition says, the definition and the characteristics of the absolute truth is that absolute truth refers to statement or realities that are true at all times and in all places, regardless of individual perception, cultures, or context. It is unchanging, universal, and logically necessary, meaning it cannot be altered by human opinion or circumstances. That's what the absolute truth is. But if you go to our younger generation, the woke one, you ask them, is there an absolute truth? They will say, no. Everybody can decide what is wrong and right for them. Have you heard that phrase? Everyone has a right to decide what they want it to be. You don't need to tell them. They will decide what is their right and wrong because my heart will tell me. When the Bible says your heart is wicked, never follow your heart. They say, my heart tells me what is right and wrong. Right? So our world think that the right and wrong become whatever each person decide. Obviously, it sounds free, isn't it? How liberating it is. Wow. That everybody can live their life as they want it. Good. It feels like that, but it collapses very quickly, my dear friends. It does. We still outrage when people get hurt, aren't we? When you hit a puppy, what do you feel? Do you feel hurt? Do you feel bad? When somebody hurt a baby, do you feel hurt? You do. You do. Not in all the circumstances. I don't want to say that, but you know what I'm talking about. We still care about justice, don't we? If morality is only opinion, if we are only clump of cell, and this is only a chemical reaction in our mind, we have no solid ground to say anything is truly wrong, is it? Let me ask you something. Do you have a freedom here that your women can drive? Yeah? Do you have that concept? Do you think that is the right thing to do? Give them freedom? Yes. In some other country, they cannot. They need to depend on their husband. They cannot drive. They cannot dress the way some of you dress. They don't eat the same thing. They have to maybe cover themselves as well. Do you think that's wrong? How dare you? There's no absolute truth. How dare you can say their culture is wrong and your culture is right? Do you understand how this easily collapses like dominoes? Because there is a morality given by God. Now, second category are the others who reject Jesus quietly. They try to reach God by keeping rules like Pharisees or a lot of other worldview. They work hard. They try to be good person. But this path is also dangerous, my friend. Why? Because if you fail, the rules crush you. You make one mistake and you're out of that game, don't we? And if you succeed, the rule makes you proud. God, I have done this for you, or I am doing this for this man or this woman, and I deserve to be rewarded. Is that right? You look to others and think, why can't they try hard like I do? When I came to this country, I was free for maybe 10 days, 2009, And since then, I had a time when I was working for 20 hours, sleeping only 4 or 5 hours and go back to work. 3 jobs I was doing at the same point. But there are some people who sleep in their bed and they get money transferred to their account, people on benefit. But a lot of people will say, why they are taking my money, my hard-earned money, government is giving to them? Because I earned it. That's what this talk about. Right? Many religious people in Jesus, they missed him, rejected him on those claims. They saw him welcoming sinners and said, this can't be right. You can't be friend with them because you need to be elite, philosopher, scholar. You cannot be sitting with them, with prostitutes and the tax collectors and the corrupt and the murderers and people who are not supposed to be in our society. They thought they were following God, but they did not understand him. The Bible said, King James Version, they cannot comprehend him. Both paths miss the light, my dear friend. One leaves us empty, the other leaves us crushed or proud. So what is the real reason Jesus is called the Logos? John takes that heavy Greek word Logos and says something breathtaking. He said the Logos is not a principle to figure out, my dear friend. The Logos is not a standard to achieve. The Logos is not a force only the elite can reach. No, the Logos is a person. The person who came near to you, a person who can be known, a person who can be loved, a person who is the other end of the phone. He's not a photograph or a map or a dead phone. He's a living person. And when you want him, he's there for you. The ultimate reality behind the universe is not cold or distance, my dear friend. It is Jesus Christ himself, the uncreated creator who became flesh, so we can say, me too. Everything that has a beginning came through him, isn't it? In him is life, and that life is the light of the world. That's what the Bible says. This changed everything, isn't it? You do not have to be brilliant or strong-willed to be connected to the heart of the reality, to this God. You simply need to receive the person who came for you. No matter what gender, what elite, or you're poor or rich, what race, what culture, white or black or blue or green, no matter who you are, sinners and righteous, everyone have this access to God through Holy Spirit and through the Word of God. John says, to all who received him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become a children of God. Can anyone else claim that? Can any God give you that power to become a children of God? Because he adopted you by paying the price for you. He paid the debt from his blood so that you can be his friend and adopted in his beautiful family. That is the God we serve. Becoming a child of God is a gift. You don't need to earn it. You cannot earn it, actually. Not something you earn, not something you inherit either. Anyone, some people think that Israel is a chosen race of God. It was. They rejected Christ. And anyone who rejects Christ will never inherit his kingdom. Simple as that. If you are in Christ, you inherit the kingdom of God. You become the children of God. Simple. I'm exclusive. Exclusive. Yes, I am. Because the word of God says that. It's not my word. A gift received by trusting Jesus. That's what it is. Eternal life for you. Think of the difference between an employee and a child. An employee relationship with the boss depends on performance, isn't it? You have to perform well in order to receive your reward. But a child? Child don't need to do that. Child relationship with loving father is built on commitment, not achievement. Is it? The Bible says this is the kind of relationship God offers. You can run to him the way a child runs to a loving parent. It's not because you have done well, my dear friend, but because he has made you his own. And he loves you more and more and more and more and more and more every time you come to him. So it's your job and my job to receive him. The world needs the light, my dear friend. We are living in darkness. People need to know that the mind behind the universe is not cold or distant, but personal and near to you. A person who came close, who died for us and offered us the right to become children of God. So receive him. A real Jesus, not the fake one the world tried to offer you, not the fake one. Believe in his name. Let the light that has shone in the darkness shine on you and in you. The world become flesh. The word become flesh and live among us. We have seen his glory, full of grace and full of truth in Jesus Christ. Receive him afresh today, my dear friend, because he has paid the price for you and for me. And that is the gospel. And if anyone tried to claim a different gospel and introduce different Jesus to you, even if the angels come and tell you that, they are wrong. Because this is the gospel through the word of God. God bless you all. May I please request all to stand and sing our next hymn. 122, The Power of the Cross.
The Word was the source of life, and this life brought light to humanity. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never put it out. Father, we draw near to you in prayer. Let us pray. Eternal God, the Word of life, we need your light to shine in all the darkness in the world today. The darkness of wars all around the world, the suffering of ordinary people, the destruction of homes and families. Let your life shine on them. We bring before you now the war in Ukraine and Russia, Israel and Gaza, Iran and Israel, and the war in the Sudan. May your light shine in the darkness of these places, and may the world leaders find solutions to these conflicts so that peace may come to these war-torn places. Let your light shine on them. We need your light to shine in the darkness when people are suffering the destruction of their way of life and their homes through the effects of natural disasters throughout the world today. We pray especially for those in Nepal and Tibet who have experienced devastating flash floods. Be with the rescue workers and the medical services who are searching for those lost and injured and hard to reach places. Give those who have lost everything the hope and resilience to cope with the ongoing effects. Let your light shine on them. We need your light to shine in the darkness throughout our own country. Be with our decision makers in our governments in London and Edinburgh, within our councils and committees. May they all put the interests of others before their own. May they be mindful of the poor, the homeless, those who are struggling with surviving day by day. We pray that the decisions made by lawmakers improve the way of life for all those who struggle. Let your light shine on them. We need your light to shine in the darkness of our own community. Be with all the health workers, the teachers, the tradespeople, those who provide transport, those who serve, those who work and care for others. Give them the patience, the kindness, and the love they need to make our community a better place. We pray for all those within our community who are sick, who are dying, or who mourn. Be with them, Lord. Bring them comfort, hope, and love. Let your light shine on them. We need your light to shine in the darkness within the Church of Scotland. Be with the ministers and members of presbyteries. Guide them as they struggle with the changes that are taking place, the falling numbers, the reduction of buildings, and the union of churches. Guide them through the changes. Give them hope for the future so that the church as a whole will become stronger. Let your light shine on them. We need your light to shine in the darkness within our own church here at Carnwath, Kirtiers and Forth Church of Scotland. Be with our minister, Sumit Harrison, all our elders, all our congregation, and all those associated within and without our church. Give them the enthusiasm, the energy, the commitment, the faith, and the love needed as we grow together. Let your light shine on us all. We need your light to shine in the darkness in our own lives. Help us to live our lives in a way that shows your light and that those we meet will come to know that we are Christians and will want to know you better. Let your light shine in the darkness, and the darkness will never put it out. In the name of Jesus Christ, who brought grace and truth to humanity, we pray. Amen.
Dear Lord, may I please request you again to stand for our closing hymn, Christ Has Made the Sure Foundation. I will only sing the two verses, the first two ones, please, and at the same time, we'll collect the offering. Now, you don't need to put something in the bag. Your presence is enough, so it's not mandatory to put something in the bag. Let's all stand, if you're able, and sing our closing hymn. Lord Jesus Christ, you are the giver of every good gift. You hold our lives together with your word and you meet us with your grace every day. We bring these offerings, Lord, in this bag with thankful hearts. Would you please use them to bless our communities, to strengthen your church, and to shine your light where it is most needed. Take what we give, Lord, in these bags and in so many other ways, and take us with it, Father. Make us generous people because you have been generous to us always. In Jesus' almighty name we pray. Amen. Let's receive the blessing of God. May the word who was in the beginning, the one who became flesh and came near, shine his light upon you. May the Jesus who holds all things together hold you in his grace. And may his truth study you, his love surround you, and his peace rest upon your home. Go in strength of the Logos, the kindness of Christ Jesus, and the comfort of the Spirit, now and forevermore.
Amen.
Once again, everybody, thank you very much for coming, and I hope you have been blessed by the worship I was sharing with you in the Word. Now, you'll say, Harrison, why can't you preach short sermons? I can't. It's a big and deep thought. It's a work like a PhD, And I struggled whole week, let me tell you that, to bring you what I've brought you. You know, I could preach on this for hours and hours and hours and hours. You won't allow me though, but I could. Okay? So we need to understand these concepts, which are deep concepts. These are doctrines. We need to know and build our foundations on this. So I'm sorry if I am taking extra 5 or 10 minutes. I always blame Margaret for that because she takes 5 or 10 minutes in the beginning for me. But thank you for bearing with me. But yes, it's a deep concept. But if you have any questions, don't think I'm busy. Okay? I'm a servant of God. I'm always available. 24/7. Call me. Invite me for coffee. Take me for lunch. I love lunch. Okay? And ask me questions. And hope we'll be able to, if you are confused in anything, just ask me and we can sit together and have a word. Okay? God bless you all. Thank you once again. I hope the Logos, the God, be with you always. Thank you.